Chapter 9. Flaylin MacDrab opened the door to the pasture to lend to the future arrival of the king. He now took good notice of surroundings. Lotus-like plants, grasses kept short. The pasture was like all hall sort, just the more tall and plantular floor made and named it differently. Musicians swayed bently through a far door, prepared for the royal entrance through shared tuning, and tensed their bows on strings, waiting at a tall door with much train-cloth plating. At touch of door's movement, they played a slow-form baroque piece as Flay saw King and Geese fitting and adjusting his train furiously behind him, wings busting forth from a many-winged bird in all directions. At King and Co.'s gesture, or rather lead, the band Stringicle rushed through grass, slow-played with hands but ass-hauling with feet, a sight especial for the Bastchel's flight. They were to pass Flaylin quick if not one had spotted him and pulled him to the fun, fast-lulled parade. Trained straighteners worked tediously, all more cause spurs, stackles galore created by the plants on the floor. Flay was pushed through attendance and tushed forward. His Majesty walking through lush drapage, McDee he saw, capage acting as veils opaque. Flay at last stood next him, jointly earthquaked with trim and felt and folds, music slow played by those fastly cues sticking to, vastly surrounded by cloth, folk alike. There they be, held audience. Joke did meld their minds together so. Your name, loyal subject? King, going past your track like football catcher guy. Flaylin MacDrab, so please your majesty sty. While he's right by King's side, jumping and running and crouching, bumping into couching fabrics, colors varied. The King. Flaylin MacDrab, news has carried on crab-like speed word of your happiness. Is it true?
Yes.
For once in a blue moon do we see here one like you. They exeunt pasture, and steering saunt and waterly, entered another hall, packed line, centered with elegant, fine-dressed admirers. Bowed on one knee like before, the fossil sowed sore needed punctuation to the stringers, who had stationed themselves a tad closer to the king, as they had been pushed behind, but now start spazzing kind of musical movement faster now in tempo. Cement-like, unkempo, Flaylin once again plopped when he saw all bowed down, and nearly stopped the town-sized procession, almost caught up in the train, but unlost by the putt-putt finesse of the king himself, who with a laugh tugged Flay back to his shelf. The day the bowed courtiers thought they'd never see, with king all fraught with laughter, now pinged in front of them. Thusly they stared amazed at F. They moved busly like chefs MacDrab had seen, through flash of camera, of eye, as crashed those helpers by and around, musical and clothical. Traveled again, tickled and shelled, through more and more cloth train. At one small hall, devoid of vain folk, King broke void of quietude in rush by saying, "You know, once, hear a mad thrush of dunce cap cloth to jump over, the longest time ago, a sir there was so like you in temperament." Flaylin asked as they slowed down for raiment as roaded ahead with many men, "And what happened to him?" But then a massive trim had to be performed, there in the cloth in front them a knot. No tear or hem could be pursued, so some dozens untied it, then held so come could unpell-meld his majesty and rest. Such was only undue. Not even best of crew could correct, so that whole company had to pass through hole, hoop, in a crass leaping manner, starting with the king and Flaylin first departing through thin break of cloth. They backed up, then ran and leapt through hoop. So up took the rest, loop made of whole train and not so disposed. The king looked down. He had not betook of F's question lightly, and seemed as if to speak slightly, but made no leak of sound except soft, "He didn't get very far," came out of him, like stars faint glimmering on night full of dusty clouds. They made right turn into daybreak-lit hall, where a few were gathered, soft in talk. They just withdrew and walked a little distance off when King and F walked in. King proffered hand. "Flaylin, this is where audience ends, for I have much work to now commence. No Turk or other fine silka had so much." A loud laugh milked or creamed forth, the chaff being King's low-again looks. America's king jogged on, towards men nothing and no one had seen, and women too. 'Twas Mr. Small Band, sticking blister-like out amongst the crowd. They stood near the king's path, were quite unloud, their bath in the sewer calmed them, and looked all about. Flay had him a question stayed childlike on's mind. As King and Co. passed, he shouted, "Majesty! King!" About it faced the king suddenly, altering the train's flow, tenly made it swallow Mr. and his 13, disappeared amidst the folds with not a teeny mold's growth of a sound, to be discovered much later. Jesty facing, Flay stirred his question forth. Why don't you just cut it and start fresh? Some put won't in part of the question, putting it as a command. But Jetting had stopped like butt on crash toboggan. All stared at Majesty for his end be all what for to his impervious subject. The king just smirked. See us? Whispered some irked courtesans, and said, Ha! His diaphragm bounced slight, but no sound. Ha! More light this time. He looked at Flay, lowered his head once more, then paid step to the door. As soon as complete train exited, at last, all turned backs, refrained whole hall from looking at Flaylin. He's still happy, of course. Comes in one from the horse stables to escort out McDrab, who feels fabric that's all about when picked up by this stable boy. They walk through many rooms, no noise. Except one room, where F is confronted by one newsworthy man, who's affronted by Dan, stable boy, told to leave. He does, but gives a card from sleeve, from A.T. Pard, this is where you go, said Dan when they got to the gate. So, Flay found it a grate like the one he entered, once again in Forest Center. It was his best guess it was sunrise, though it could be sunset. Above, the skies took bets as to what time it was. Flay felt need, as he has never done till here, to go with all speed. When a tree's near, then he, look but don't peek, took a leak.